From Michigan Radio, this is Unequal by Law, Being Gay in Michigan. I'm Lester Graham. It's amazing how quickly the conversation about lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people is changing. But part of the LGBT community is confusing to a lot of straight people, and really some gay and lesbian people. The T in LGBT, transgender people. These are people who could be born anywhere along a sexual spectrum. Male and female sexual organs don't always match up with the organ in our head. And for intersex people who are born with uncertain genitalia, the definitions of male and female don't mean that much. While the headlines scream the big LGBT issue of the day is marriage for lesbian and gay people, the issue for transgender people is more basic.
For trans people, it's the restrooms. The restrooms are our battlefield.
Meet Renee Kneipp. She was once male and is now female, and that transition caused her employer to kind of freak out about which bathroom she could use because of the company's guesses about how people might react. Some people just see people like Renee as a guy who thinks he's a woman using the same bathroom as their little daughter. It implies pedophilia, a threat. Sometimes this idea is out of ignorance. Sometimes it's done out of bigotry to scare people. But why would someone who has gone to really great lengths to be a woman care about molesting your little girl? I mean, there's a logical fallacy there. But hey, it sounds really scary, so it's used. Anyway, Renee Kneipp worked at a big box retailer, a discount store with a grocery. She was with corporate security, the people in plain clothes who monitor the store and catch shoplifters. She didn't wear a uniform or a vest or anything that identified her as an employee. But once corporate was alerted to her transition, human resource managers stepped in.
They wanted to spare the customers the discomfort. They also felt like it might make me uncomfortable. Speaking for me, even though I've been using women's restrooms for a long time outside of work, we just think you'll be more comfortable in the gender-neutral restrooms.
Keep in mind, transgender customers could use the restroom best suited to them, but not Kneipp. She could not use the women's room. She could not use the men's room. She could only use the gender-neutral restroom if the store where she was working that day had one.
If you ever find yourself at a store that doesn't have a gender-neutral restroom, or a family restroom as we called them, then you have to go somewhere where there is one, possibly the gas station. If there's not a gas station, you can get an escort to the women's room and have somebody stand watch. And if you know none of those things work, then you're either not going to use the restroom or you have to punch out and leave the property and go find a public restroom somewhere that you can use. This is the rule. If you break this rule, you're going to be fired.
Kneipp thought, okay, this is ridiculous, but she'd be able to handle it. But as it turned out, it really wasn't that easy. The gender-free family restroom is a really busy place, and so there was a lot of waiting.
A 15 to 20-minute wait every time you have to use the restroom five times a day, 40 hours a week or plus, you're not doing what your body needs for itself. Sometimes I would get called away, and it would be hours before I got to the restroom after I needed to be there. I ended up with urinary tract infections started setting in.
The infections kept coming back. The company wouldn't budge. Then someone reported Kneipp. She was accused of using the women's restroom. An investigation was launched. She was questioned. Her work colleagues were questioned.
Then they sat down and they watched video to see if they could verify my comings and goings to the restroom. This went on for a few days.
The video cleared Kneipp. No unapproved restroom use.
As stupid as it was and as much as I hate that it happened at all and how humiliating it was, I don't know what would have happened if they couldn't have verified that, you know.
The restroom decree stood. Kneipp filed an Equal Employment Opportunity Commission complaint, hoping some kind of better arrangement could be made, but that didn't seem to be going anywhere. Then the company eliminated the unit in which Kneipp worked. They offered everyone a chance to apply for other jobs, but for some reason, corporate never seemed to find an interview for a position for Kneipp because of the bathroom issue.
They had anchored me to a certain select number of stores with this restroom rule, and then they were punishing me for being anchored at those stores. I had already spent 2 years dealing with constant urinary tract infections, stress, depression, embarrassment. I signed the paperwork for the severance pay. I took the layoff. I dropped the EEOC complaint. And, you know, I just sort of let it end. I ran out of options and I didn't know what else to do.
That was in 2010. There's no happy ending here. When we last spoke, Renee Kneipp was still unemployed. Of course, being allowed to use the appropriate bathroom is just the beginning of expressing your gender if you were born with a different gender.
People get really freaky on you when they can't tell within a fraction of a second if you're a boy or a girl.
This is Joanna Smith. Joanna was born intersex. Basically, that means people born with sex chromosomes, external genitalia, or an internal reproductive system that is not considered standard for either male or female.
So I was born with some variations on a theme, if you will.
But Joanna's father wanted a boy, so they named the baby John. John, as a small child, behaved in a way that was typically female. That did not go over so well in preschool, so it was decided John could not advance to elementary school until he learned to socialize more appropriately. He was put in a room in the preschool basement and given art projects to fill his days. That year, he did learn a lesson.
It taught me that I had to be John. That there would be dire consequences if I didn't conform to the expectations. I wouldn't be educated. And I would be put in the basement by myself in solitary confinement. Talk about a motivator for a six-year-old.
John's mother protected him from discovery that he was different. For example, he was kept away from other kids. He had his own room at church camp. He didn't participate in gym in high school. He ended up being ostracized. He was the different one. He felt he was somehow broken. Once he reached college, he just wanted to succeed and be normal. He earned bachelor and master degrees in electrical engineering and played the expected male role.
Met someone in college. A nice lady, and we got married. We had one daughter, Melissa.
But John struggled with being a guy. It was a lot to suppress his feminine side, and his daughter, Melissa, says her father was not always successful at that.
My mom used to complain that it seemed like sometimes he was just a different person, just totally a different person. And looking back on it now, he was a different person. Sometimes he be feeling like a guy, and sometimes he'd be feeling like a girl.
Ultimately, there was a divorce. Melissa says John had been a distant father, and the two did not talk for years. In his early 50s, John got cancer, prostate cancer, a particularly aggressive form. At one point, John was put on androgen deprivation therapy. The goal is to reduce levels of male hormones called androgens to prevent them from reaching prostate cancer cells. For John, suppressing those male hormones was like freedom. He felt female, and he says it was like heaven for him. John made the decision to be Joanna. Surgeries were performed to clarify reproductive organs, but changing behavior and appearance from male to female was a longer process. And the reaction was not always good. Presenting as female, she was declined the use of John's credit card at retail stores. Some colleagues at work did not approve.
I was terminated from my job as an electrical engineer, I believe, twice because of this issue. I can't get into the specifics because there are termination agreements that I have signed, and I cannot give you any specifics whatsoever.
What has become clear to Joanna is there are people who really get worked up about other people who don't perfectly match either male or female behavior or expression. She says the LGBT community calls them the gender police.
The gender police are folks that have some kind of a problem. And the existence of people that are questioning their gender, that are working through issues, is a problem for them, and they have to get rid of them.
Transgender people are the most likely to be attacked or murdered among people in the LGBT community. But even for people who are accepting, it can be difficult. Joanna says daughter Melissa and she have had to make some adjustments.
We've shared some tears. And we've had to say goodbye to John. That was tough on us both. But John never existed. John was the figment of a six-year-old's imagination that grew into a persona that kept me safe.
It's hard sometimes. It jogs in my head. It took me a while to be comfortable with she is my father. I have a hard time figuring out how to introduce her sometimes. This is my parental unit. Because to me, she's my dad.
It's difficult to say that I am her father. I don't look like a father. I don't go back to John. I won't go back to John. I couldn't go back to John if my life depended upon it.
One point daughter Melissa Smith makes is that her father, John, was distant. Father and daughter were not that close, but things have changed.
Honestly, I like Joanna better, so she's more emotional. She's more connected. She cares more. She's there. She's present. And I have to imagine that living so long as who you aren't would disconnect you. And every once in a while, I see him in her, and it's a little sad.
I regret that because for a daughter to have her father is an important thing. But fathers die. And life goes on. The difference for Melissa is that she now has Joanna in her life. And I can do what I can.